Hi, I'm Jason Lau from OKX, the hub of all things Web3 and crypto. You're listening to The Edge of NFT, your prime source for the most groundbreaking Web3 solutions and content. Keep listening.
Hey, Web3 Curious listeners, stay tuned for today's episode to learn about the significance of zero fees in OKX's inscriptions marketplace and how the role of digital assets in sectors like gaming, music, and ticketing are evolving and what that means for the future of Web3 technology. And finally, why The Legend of Zelda might be the best gaming franchise of all time. It's going to be another great episode today, so sit back and cue the intro.
Welcome to The Edge of NFT, the podcast that brings you the top 1% of Web3 today and what will stand the test of time. We explore the nuts and bolts of the business side and also the human element of how Web3 is changing the way we interact with the things we love. This podcast is for the dreamers, disruptors, and doers who are pumped about this ecosystem and driving where it goes next.
Welcome to The Edge of NFT, the podcast created by Jeff Kelly, Ethan Jenny, and Josh Krieger, featuring a variety of top-notch guests and other hosts like myself, Richard Carthon. It's another production of The Edge of Company, a quickly growing media ecosystem empowering the pioneers of Web3 tech and culture, and responsible for groundbreaking endeavors like Outer Edge LA Innovation Festival. Today's sponsored episode features Jason Liu, who is the chief innovation officer that is driving force behind OKX's innovation initiatives and a key player in spotting groundbreaking new business avenues. With a background in finance at Barclays Capital and CFX Incorporated and an MBA from New York University's Stern School of Business, Jason's expertise is vital in shaping the future of OKX. His feature is on making Bitcoin and crypto more accessible, continually pushing OKX to expand the boundaries of crypto and Web3 world. OKX is the leading global technology company driving the future of Web3. OKX provides a comprehensive suite of products to meet the needs of beginners and experts alike, including OKX Wallet, the world's most powerful, secure, and versatile crypto wallet, which gives users access to over 80 blockchains while allowing them to take custody of their own funds. DEX, a multi-chain, cross-chain, decentralized exchange aggregator of 300-plus other DEXs and approximately 15 bridges with 200,000-plus coins and more than 20 blockchains supported. NFT Marketplace, a multi-chain, zero-fee NFT marketplace that gives users access to NFT listings across 7 top-tier marketplaces, including OpenSea, Magic Eden, LuxRare, and Blur. And finally, Web3 DeFi, a powerful DeFi platform that supports earning and staking on about 70 protocols across more than 10 chains. OKX partners with a number of world's top brands and athletes, including English Premier League champion Manchester City FC, McLaren Formula One, and Tribeca Festival, Olympian Scotty James, and F1 driver Daniel Ricciardo. As a leader in building innovative technology products, OKX believes in challenging the status quo. To learn more about OKX, download the app or visit OKX.com. It is an absolute pleasure to have you today, Jason.
Thanks for having me, Richard.
Absolutely, man. Well, OKX was one of the catalysts for Outer Edge 2023. OKX CMO Haider Rafiq and NBA star Baron Davis lit it up on stage last time your team was on the show. Just wanted to check in, like, how's OKX been over the last year?
Yeah, I was bummed I was not there last year. Haider told me he had a really great time and you guys threw a really great event. Is there one plan for this year? I thought I heard something, but maybe you haven't announced it yet.
Yeah, so we are starting off with a NFT LA Community Week that's going to be at the end of March, but we are looking to do Outer Edge again sometime in either Q2 or Q3. More info coming out soon on that, but definitely we'll keep you posted on once we announce those dates.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd love to be able to come this time.
Absolutely. I think you'd have a great time. But, you know, I'm curious about learning more about you and your personal journey into crypto. Can you kind of share a little bit about what that journey was and, like, how did it lead you to your current role at OKX?
Yeah, I mean, I've been with OKX for basically 8 years now. And so my journey has come through, you know, various roles that I've had here at the company. I led our institutional team for a while. I worked on our listings for a while. I'm also COO of our US regulated business here called OKCoin. So I've done quite a bit in the space, but today, you know, I'm the chief innovation officer here, really focused on how OKX can engage with on-chain communities and on-chain technologies and really drive and push towards that, goal of ours to make Web3 and crypto more accessible to more people. We want to build products that make it easy for people to learn, acquire crypto, and then ultimately use crypto via the wallet, the Web3 wallet that we have. In my past life, I know you did a little introduction. In my past career, you know, I was in traditional finance. I was just fortunate enough to have pivoted away from that into tech, did a startup in 2013 that didn't work out, unfortunately, but really allowed me to hang out with some early Bitcoin people and learn quite a bit about what Bitcoin and ultimately crypto and blockchain could enable. So that's essentially my journey, just going from finance into tech, and then just being intellectually super curious about how that all worked out, and then ending up here at OKX. It's been quite a ride.
No, that's awesome. I too came from traditional finance and found myself into the crypto world, and haven't looked back. And you know, having that experience within entrepreneurship itself, I think gets you built right for the peaks and valleys that is the world of the crypto, of cryptocurrencies, and just dealing with the cyclical nature of what's happening here. But one of the things that you kind of mentioned that I want to dive into just a little bit more, you know, with being OKX's innovation officer, you kind of touched on some of your main objectives, but and you brought up different things like how you're looking at Bitcoin and crypto and making it more accessible. But how is OKX's focus around making that accessibility to a wider audience and making that more possible?
You know, it comes down to two things from our perspective. One is building good products, and two, building products that work for users. And really, you know, ever since I've been here, our focus has been to listen to what users want and try to build products that satisfy that. It's really that simple. And so, you know, going back to that entrepreneur, you know, the sort of what you get from entrepreneurship is partially the same thing, right? You know, our industry is growing. A lot of stuff is not really, you know, firmed up yet. You know, best practices, you know, ways of doing things. We're all trying to figure this out as we go along. And so, being an entrepreneur, being in this space, you really have to dive deep and figure out what users are actually using crypto and Web3 for. Part of that is trading. You know, there is a lot of trading occurring in crypto. I think we're all familiar with that. But a lot of it is also trying to expand beyond that and look into what crypto can do. NFTs being the name of this show is something that we'll talk about for sure later, but that's been a very interesting journey in itself, right? And for us, we launched our Web3 wallet and Web3 interface about 2 years ago now. And really just listening to our users' feedback of how do they get better access into the wider world of Web3, including NFTs and DeFi and all this stuff. And so when we think about building products for users, that's the approach we take. And happy to dive into specifics as we continue.
Definitely. And you opened it up, and I want to go straight into it. Yeah, one of the recent things OKX recently launched is its first integrated inscriptions ecosystem. Can you kind of explain the rationale behind this move, and how does it align with the broader macro trends within the industry?
We started with Bitcoin, we went to Ethereum, and then we saw all these chains sort of come out and all these new use cases come out and new communities pop up. That's what we saw on our exchange platform, where users were asking for and wanting to be able to buy and sell and use a lot of these cryptocurrencies. And when we went to build our Web3 platform, our Web3 wallet, by the way, is a self-custodial wallet where users can basically store their crypto on their phone and do whatever they want to do in Web3. And so when we went to build our wallet, we took a very different approach than existing wallets out there. Existing wallets at the time really focused on being unique to one chain. For example, MetaMask would be Ethereum only, right? And EVM only. And so we took a multi-chain approach right from the start, thinking that users don't want to be locked into one protocol. They really care about the use cases that interest them. And whether that's on Solana, whether that's on Bitcoin or ETH, it doesn't matter. And so we sort of abstracted a lot of that chain decisions. And I don't know if you remember, you have to kind of pick, you know, the servers and networks that you connect to. And it's just, I think we're fortunate our industry has moved on beyond that a little bit. You know, it's just, if we want more users to go on chain and use these dApps, we have to make it easier. And that's our approach, right? We made it easy for users to take their assets from the exchange into their wallet, be able to very quickly browse and discover the applications that they want to use, and do it in a very seamless way across chains, building in tools to help them swap between chains, convert, you know, USDC, for example, between a Solana USDC versus a Ethereum USDC, just making that super easy. And so that leads me to this recent release of an inscription marketplace on OKX. Inscriptions, you know, for the listeners that may or may not know, are really this new innovative way of putting data onto the blockchains themselves. And with that, you get really powerful new use cases, including, you know, more dynamic, more immutable, really strong sort of digital collectibles, right? Like, these are, I think, the best representations of what a digital collectible is today. And so we're really excited about it. And we saw that inscriptions were, one, obviously started on Bitcoin, but also happening on a variety of different protocols on Bitcoin, but also on other chains. And back to listening to our users, we also saw that they were having to go outside of our wallet, outside of our ecosystem, to go find the early wallets that support these. And we want to bring that all back together, right? We want users to who want to explore inscriptions, explore ordinals, they could do it all in one place, in the comforts of the OKX experience and in their Web3 wallet. And so that was our inspiration. And we're just getting started. We just announced four new protocols that were added to the inscriptions marketplace. Users will be able to trade, buy, sell, view, browse, a whole bunch of cool stuff, mint inscriptions, and all with no fees. We're not taking any fees on any of this. So we'd love to see what that feedback is.
I like that a lot. There's so much I want to unpack on what you just said. First,
I rambled on a little bit.
No, rambling. It's really cool just to see, like, I mean, you're the innovation guy, so your mind's always thinking about, here's all the really cool things that we're doing. And so, like, you're the person I want to talk to, because one of the challenges of bridging Web 2 into Web 3, of course, is the onboarding process and making it as easy as possible for people who are coming now into Web 3 to be able to do things in as little steps as possible. And as we know before, you know, it could take anywhere from 6 to 12 steps from owning one cryptocurrency to owning another. And by using OKX's application, doing something as simple as being on, like, hey, I'm in the Solana ecosystem, but now I'm trying to do something in Ethereum's ecosystem. I have the stablecoin USDC. How do I just switch out of this real quick? Well, you know, historically, you would have to take many steps, lose a lot of your money within transaction fees and everything else, and pray that it goes to the right wallets and everything else. Now it can just happen in one step. That in itself, wow, right? Years and years of, like, innovation just to, like, make that step happen so quickly. But then you're going that next step of, like, okay, what's the next thing? So in the last bull cycle, NFTs really took off, and people all at once were trying to figure out, hey, what's going on? How do we do this? And, like, right now, for people who are kind of in that space, they're learning about inscriptions. Oh, basically NFTs that are on Bitcoin, and now I can do all this. It's overwhelming for some people, but they're trying to get in, and they're having to go to a lot of different places to figure out how to do that. But you're making it very easy. And not just that, you brought up a really good point, which is zero inscription fees. That, I haven't heard of another platform that I'm able to do that. Can you kind of just dive into that a little bit more, and why that innovation in itself is unique to OKX, and why you decided to go in that direction?
You have questions about blockchain? Like, how big of a block can you chain without throwing out your back? Or if you receive that chain letter, how did you block it? And does blockchain taste better, barbecued or deep fried? Luckily, you don't have to ponder these quandaries alone anymore, because Blockchain Training Alliance is here to answer them and also train you in real-world blockchain issues that will impact your business's bottom line and oriented future forward along the ley lines of the most important tech humanity has perfected since harnessing atomic energy. If you're into those sorts of things, Blockchain Training Alliance is a top leader in the field, counting among its clients IBM, Microsoft, Disney, Morgan Stanley, and many more, and offering a wide array of technical and non-technical courses. Whether you're a computer neophyte training for an incredible career in this new space, or a coding expert honing your skills, Blockchain Training Alliance will help you steer your ship home safely, filled with treasure. Arg. So hurry and sign up for the Blockchain Training Alliance course that best fits your needs at blockchaintrainingalliance.com. Use discount code EDGEOF for 50% off and start your next block today.
Yeah, you know, our focus is on making this accessible. We think it's still very early, and charging fees from our platform's perspective at this stage really isn't conducive to encouraging more people to explore this. Ideally, we'd love to see more users just explore, maybe buy their first NFT, first inscription. And you know, if they do it, and we don't want to take a cut of that at the very first stage, right? We're I think at this stage where the industry is, we think that no fees is the way to go. And we just want more users onboarded, educated, and using crypto. That's really our goal. We're fortunate to have this ecosystem around centralized exchange. So users do come, and if they want to trade and buy crypto, they do pay fees on our centralized exchange platform. But once they're taking that crypto off the exchange, right now we don't charge any fees actually across our whole Web3 sort of portfolio. So it's not just this marketplace, it's not just the NFT marketplace, even on our DEX aggregator, on our yield aggregators. We build a lot of tools that we think it's better for users to have access to as opposed to just sort of short-term thinking. So yeah, I mean, ultimately we want feedback too, right? I don't think for a moment that our products are perfect, and we want more people to use them so we can get that feedback to improve.
And you've definitely taken a big step in eliminating a barrier of why someone would want to try and get involved in it by going to zero fees. So I think it's a really cool way to encourage people to use it so they can get that experience, provide the feedback, and you can keep making those improvements. So I like that a lot. And one of the things go ahead.
Sorry, beyond zero fees, actually, there are instances where there are features where users are actually rewarded for even trying them out. I mean, I'll give an example. We talked about USDC swapping between chains. Circle and us, we had partnered to do a promotion where users went ahead and did that, would actually get their gas fees, the network fees, reimbursed back to them. So,
wow.
You know, these are fees that we don't take a fee on the platform side, but not only that, you know, by trying this feature out, you got your gas fees reimbursed. So we mean it when we say we want users to try these features and get more people into it.
Yeah, that is a great distinction because as everyone knows, in the last NFT gas wars, gas got pretty expensive pretty quickly. And so even now with doing some of the inscription fees can be pretty pricey. So again, OKX is wanting people to come and use this, and I really think that speaks volumes. And I think you're gonna get some people to go and try it out. But I kind of want to dive a little bit more just into looking granularly at all of, you know, NFTs, inscriptions, and looking at that particular space from your perspective. Like, how should big brands be thinking about NFTs in 2024, especially compared back to the approach in 2021?
I saw that you guys had a episode with Mercedes a couple weeks back. And I think, you know, that's interesting because big brands, and we've been talking to a bunch of them too, haven't really gone away from NFTs. I think to them, it's still something that's worth experimenting on. This digital frontier, this digital ownership is not going away, right? This trend. And I think for big brands, we're working with some of these. I don't know who I can announce, but there is one recently that we have been talking to and publicly announced. We are helping them see how they can access our user base and sort of cross-pollinate ideas around what type of engagement these brands would like to get by having users do, by having them issue NFTs, but also joint users own them. I think digital collectibles, NFTs are really just the tip, right? It's really, what can that enable that we're all trying to figure out? So for, as an example, we're helping this company, mostly Asia focused, so it might not be as familiar to Western audiences. Stephen Chow, who's the really famous director, movie director, Kung Fu, I don't know if you've seen that, or Shaolin Soccer or something. He's just a legendary movie director out in Hong Kong. He's doing his first NFT project in collaboration with us, and we're sort of that tech and platform provider to help him get the NFTs issued, minted, and access. The wallet is how the users will be able to access this NFT. And so we're trying to make that gap between someone that wants to do an NFT to the actual users that want to own and collect these NFTs. We're just trying to shrink that, right? We're trying to make that as easy as possible on both sides. So that's our role. And then others, we have some amazing brand partners that we're very fortunate to work with. Tribeca Film Festival, McLaren, Manchester City. In the past, we've explored, and we have done actually, some experimentation around NFT ticketing. With Tribeca Film Festival last year, we worked with them to issue and sell a special NFT pass that would give special access to Robert De Niro, and I think there was some perks that were associated with that. We've done some sort of music festival, again, sort of event passes where, again, you get special perks. We did a drop with Manchester City when they won their Champions League last year, really as a collectible memorial for their fans, just to kind of remember that moment. But ultimately, my personal take is that when brands, NFTs are natively digital, and their functionality is natively digital. And so when we see brands go fully digital and really, when you're trying to do physical and digital, I think the lines are always kind of blurry, right? Like, why do I even need an NFT for something that's in the physical space? But when you try to do really uniquely digital experiences or access, that's when it gets very interesting, especially when you have brands that are working together, brands that maybe don't even exist anymore. I think, these are where on-chain NFTs and on-chain data and all this, we're hopefully going to see some of this stuff come out, in the years to come. Probably still early though.
Yeah. And I think that big brands are going to creatively figure out how what they're currently doing can apply to a more digital future. And you're starting to already see that happen through partnerships that you just spoke about, like you said, with Mercedes already starting to embrace how they're trying to go into that realm. And I do want to touch on a partnership, the one that you have with McLaren. So I was fortunate to go to Token 2049, and OKX had its station out there. And for participating at your booth, you're getting McLaren swag. So I got a nice McLaren hat. It was also, that was when Formula One was out in Singapore as well. That was a really cool collaboration. And then being able to see some of those, digital sides, being able to apply back over. And I like being able to see like the real world mixed with the digital and getting the full experience of that. And I think big brands are going to continue to embrace that, even as it relates to gaming, ticketing, and so much more. And you touched on quite a lot of those. But I also kind of want to just look ahead into what you think, what key trends that you foresee in crypto and Web3 and how OKX is positioning itself to be at the forefront of those developments.
Hello again, Web3 curious listeners. If you're tuning into our podcast, we'd love for you to connect with us on our social media channels. Let us know what aspects of the show you love and what or who you're eager to hear more about. Your insights help us refine the show and bring you the topics and guests that matter most to you. Thanks for sticking with us. Back to the episode.
You mentioned gaming, so I'll start with that one. I think just to follow on my point earlier, NFTs, crypto, and all this, they really shine when it's in a very native digital environment. And I think games are a perfect example of this. We've been in talks with a lot of game companies to see how we can, one, obviously we have that wallet infrastructure, we have the user base where they're already crypto native, to see how we can help them bring NFTs and crypto and wallet, you know, access, really build that into their product and ecosystem. So that's exciting. I think we hope to have something really fun to talk about next time, maybe later this year. But that's definitely a focus for us. GameFi, we're eager to listen to and work with even more sort of game developers. But it's really because games are in many ways uniquely natively digital already, right? Game assets and game things are, the gamers already understand that there's value here. It's worth holding. There's potentially utility in these ecosystems already. And owning these items makes sense to these gamers. I think that when big brands go digitally, natively digital, I think that's when we really see the next wave of brands engaging with crypto and NFTs. So that's exciting. And another thing that we're looking at is we have a layer two network that we're going to be launching in Q1 this year. It's a big push from our team. We're hoping to really bring the OKX experience up and down through the sort of user journey as someone goes from simple as learning about crypto, buying crypto, to now all the way to interacting with on-chain dApps, right? And if these dApps are via our wallet, access via our wallet, and on this layer two that we're about to launch, we think we can curate a very nice, seamless, easy experience for these users throughout. So that's something we're keeping an eye on. We're hoping to do some announcements in the next month or so. By the time this airs, I don't know when that will be actually.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Is definitely news I'm looking forward to. So new layer two, obviously so much can be built on top of that. I want to backtrack to the gaming aspect as, you know, just looking at gaming as a whole, big business, huge business. And there's a lot of pull over into the Web3 space, and I think it's going to continue to grow. And there's invariably a lot of correlations between what are things that already apply to games that easily Web3 blockchain can help solve and make more economical and more useful for the end user. So I'm excited for that. And I'm glad that OKX is also leaning into that. Looking into anything else that you can kind of tease up for OKX's roadmap and other initiatives as the innovation officer that you are working on that you think others should be aware of and should be excited about as we look at 2024?
Yeah, I mean, specifically with a NFT focus, we are looking at, so inscriptions we talked about, I think inscriptions are really for a, you know, because the data stored on chain, the art, everything stored, the code perhaps is stored on chain. I think that's really for the, it's more costly, obviously, to do that. And so you have a very unique tier of NFTs that are going to be created there. But also, if you look at something like CNFTs on the Solana chain, where you're going for completely opposite, right, which is mass market, or just a mass drop of NFTs, you can create thousands, millions, maybe even at once, very low cost. And that opens up an entirely different type of use case, right? And so we're also looking at technologies like that. Again, our role is to make sure when these technologies have traction, when users want these, our wallet supports them and you can be sure to learn about them, but also have access to them. That's our goal, right? And so we're keeping an eye on many different types of technologies out there and look forward to implement them as they pick up later this year. The other thing is related to NFTs is, I talked about the Nobody NFT that we're working on with the Stephen Chow director. That ability to launch a NFT via our platform is something that we're going to open up and hopefully work with more creators and brands later this year to allow them to essentially do that, right? Bridge that gap between ideation to actually getting NFTs into hands of crypto users. So that's another area where we're excited about and excited to roll that out further.
Yeah, that's awesome. So the ability to have an NFT marketplace where people can create and launch straight onto OKX is pretty awesome. And also just looking at all the elements between inscriptions, NFT creation, cross-chain movement, zero fees, there's a lot going on at OKX. So for everyone listening, if you've been under a rock and you don't necessarily know what's going on at OKX, clearly a lot to go check out. So definitely go and do that. And I've been very eager to learn about everything going on, but now I'm actually eager to learn a little bit more about you. So we're actually getting ready to go on to our next segment, which is Edge Quick Hitters.
NFTLA returns as an inclusive week of community events throughout LA, celebrating the outer edge of innovation.
Builders be building.
There's so much energy colliding around gaming, AI, generative art, the metaverse, decentralized social, and the future of entertainment.
If you want to be in the mix, including the official free NFTLA celebration, visit outeredge.live to subscribe for your updates and RSVP. Edge Quick Hitters is a fun and quick way to get to know you a little bit better. There are 10 questions and we're looking for a short, a single, or few word response, but feel free to expand if you get the urge. You ready?
All right, let's do it.
Awesome. What is the first thing you remember purchasing in your life?
Basketball cards. This was when I was growing up in Hong Kong. I remember going after school, getting my money, my pocket money, and buying basketball card packs.
Awesome. Was there a particular athlete that you were most excited about when you got him?
I really liked Latrell Sprewell. I don't know if you remember him. Played for the Warriors, Knicks later on in his career. Yeah.
Oh, awesome, man. Well, what is the first thing you remember selling in your life?
I remember most vividly selling a Diablo II unique weapon. I, at the risk of dating myself, that was pretty interesting. Like knowing that, again, you know, knowing that some of these digital items can have value to people. I think it sold for $50, which was a lot of money to me back then. Right. And I also sold some EVE online. So like another video games, digital assets.
Back then. Hey, Jason, it sounds like it was foretold that you would end up in Web3.
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be, man. That is so cool. What is the most recent thing you purchased?
So I purchased the Apple Vision Pro. It's not here yet, but I am excited to get it. You know, I'm a bit of a geek, if you can't tell. So I'm really looking forward to playing with it and just seeing how that thing works.
Yeah, that's awesome. I have a MetaQuest 2. And I am tempted. So like, I want to hear what your reviews are. I'm also going to see what other people think about it. But yeah, let me know. Like that, it looks so cool.
I think the Quest has so many more applications out already, games in particular. I think the Vision Pro has a little bit of catching up to do, but the hardware just looks amazing. So we'll see.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, what is the most recent thing that you've sold?
It's been a while. I'm a little bit of a hoarder. I like to keep my things. I do sell my old video games. I play them. I buy the physical ones. I play them and then I get rid of them. You know, I think it was a Switch game that I sold a couple years ago.
Gotcha. Nice. Yeah. I'm kind of the same way. I'm one of those, you know, I don't mind playing a multiplayer game, but I really like story mode. And like, I also like playing it on the hardest level, 'cause like, I like the challenge. But like, it's one of those things, like once I've beat it, like realistically, am I probably going to play it again? No. So just go ahead and, you know, trade and see if I can get whatever cash I can and keep going. So I feel you on that one, Jason.
What game do you like?
Oh man, from a game. So I'm a console guy. I've been a PlayStation person forever. So I've owned every single thing that they've ever put out. But God of War, love that. Horizon has been a really cool. So Horizon 1 and 2 have been awesome. Currently playing the new Spider-Man game, which is awesome. Also played a lot of the Assassin's Creed series. Nice. So, but I play a full range of games.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't have a PlayStation when I grew up. I had the Nintendo stack. But recently, so my first PlayStation I just got was the PlayStation 5. Nice. Fortunately, it's backward compatible, so was able to catch up on some of all the really all the games that I missed out on in the I guess five whenever PlayStation 4 came out. So that's been pretty fun. Played some of those games you mentioned.
Yeah. Oh man, so many good ones. If you need recommendations, I got you.
I liked Ghost of Tsushima. Actually, I don't know if you played that.
That's
one.
That's a good one. Yeah.
So it's just a beautiful art.
Beautifully made just, game.
Yeah. Beautiful, yeah.
Good storytelling. Even so, another one, Last of Us. I like 1 and 2. Like when it came out on HBO, I was like, I was watching it with my wife, and I was like, oh, you don't even know what's coming.
I have yet to play that one.
Yeah, oh, that's also like a really good one. But what would you consider your most prized possession?
This one was tricky. I thought about this, and I actually don't think I have one prized possession. I keep a lot of things just hanging out, but nothing like I wouldn't lose sleep if anything got lost. I think I think the experiences and the team and family and all that is a little bit more important. Things that are actually irreplaceable.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good response. If you could buy anything in the world, digital, physical, service, experience that's currently for sale, what would it be? And again, this is. You have unlimited money. Like, what are you going after?
Yeah, in line with my previous sort of answer, it's really, I think it would be an experience where I could spend time with my family, my friends, maybe an amazing vacation. I don't know what it is, but that would be probably what I'd be leaning towards.
Yeah. As I have gotten older, I've leaned way more into experiences and having those experiences with people I really care about. I just feel like that's way more filling. So I really vibe with that.
That's exactly answer. That's exactly right. I think this is an answer that 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I would not have said. So I totally get it.
Yeah. If you could pass on one of your personality traits to the next generation, what would it be?
I hope it would be something around curiosity, just trying to figure out how things work and learn a little bit more about things. I think that's something... I try to do when I learn about new technologies or new products, just how do they do it? Right. Like, I think it's pretty fun. It's fun. I think
so too. And I think I also love curiosity, and I think unfortunately people's curiosity is taken from them as we go through, and I'm just talking about Western and Americans, like going through schooling systems and being taught that there's only one right answer when, you know, there's multiple ways to do stuff and everything else. And I think people being able to be a little bit more curious and following it allows for more creative thinking. So I like the curiosity answer. On the flip side, if you could eliminate one of your personality traits for the next generation, what would it be?
I'm going to say procrastination, I guess. I don't know if that's even a personality trait, but, you know, I try to have a rule for myself where if it can be done in 5 minutes, just do it. But there are inevitably things that can't be done in 5 minutes. And I like to, I convince myself that I'm spending time thinking about it, but definitely I could do better in procrastinating. So maybe a little bit of that.
Yeah, it's a good one. I think we all procrastinate a little bit.
And yeah,
it's a tough one, man. Especially being busy. Life, you just keep getting busier with life. And it's like, what do you prioritize? And some things need to be done, but like, can it wait? And yeah, so procrastination is a good one. What did you do right before joining us on the podcast?
I made myself a cup of coffee. I learned I learned how to make coffee at home during COVID, and so it's a nice kind of 5 minute step away and just kind of pour the water and all that. It's I think it's kind of meditative actually, and I don't know if my coffee's any good, but it's you know it's good enough for me.
Hey, that's what matters, right? You're the one drinking it, so that's and right, if it's yeah. one of those things that like helps with your morning routine, get you going. It's a good one to have and saving you a ton of money, not getting coffee at a bunch of shops and whatnot. So
that's right.
Two for one
that's
there. Right. What are you doing right after the podcast?
I told you there's snow outside. So I'm going to be taking my dog out. We're going to go run around in the snow.
Awesome. Well, we usually like to wrap with a bonus question and I got a good one because you are such a gamer. What is your favorite game of all time?
Ooh, favorite game of all time. I'm a Zelda fan. I have yet to finish Tears of the Kingdom, the most recent one. But thinking back, I think a Link to the Past was amazing. Again, dating myself a little bit, but Ocarina of Time, those are classic, great games.
Those are classics, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm eager to see what Nintendo has in store later this year.
Yeah, I heard they're dropping some new stuff. Also, like just the Zelda ecosystem and their games have been solid, but like I personally Breath of the Wild, like I just can't believe like they took such a leap just in that game and
you
just spend so many hours just doing stuff. So like yeah, I'm with you, man. Zelda's awesome.
I think that Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom too, it's an example of how creativity and design kind of overcome some of the technical stuff, the limitations of the Switch in particular. I think there's probably some lesson there for crypto and crypto projects also, right? Like, you know, there's, you know, we're struggling with some of the tech stuff on the blockchain side, but you know, I think when you try to figure out and build things that are interesting and for the user design wise, and use case wise, I think you can get something pretty amazing.
I think so too. And I definitely think there's a lot of lessons to take away and appreciate answering all those questions. It was great to get to know you a little bit better. But now I'm going to give you the spotlight again. This is the segment of the show that we like to call shout outs. Is there anyone or ecosystem or people that you're working with that you just want to take a moment and give a quick shout out to?
And now a brief interlude from today's show so you can get ready to wave your magic wand with Cast Magic. Our team has saved a ton of time and money using Cast Magic for our show, and the potential use cases are boundless for any company creating content. Imagine turning a single recording into a goldmine of engagement for any type of show, webinar, or other type of audio and/or video content, whether it's short or long. With Cast Magic, you can save over 20 hours a week. No more tedious transcribing or brainstorming social media posts. Cast Magic does it all, generating show notes, summaries, blog posts, and even newsletters in minutes. Think of it as your content alchemist, transforming every audio or video into a treasure trove of valuable content. Want to experience the magic? Get a 7-day trial on us by going to bit.ly/castmagicreferral and join Cast Magic's vibrant Slack community of over 1,000 innovators. Don't just create, cast your magic with Cast Magic.
Number one, obviously our team here, our OKX team, amazing team, really, our Web3 team, our all of our teams, we're globally distributed. So I don't get to see everyone all the time, but I would love to give them a shout out just for all the hard work and amazing products they put out. Really, I think just the focus on our users and delivering something great for them is just immense. And really proud of them. Second team is, and a quick plug for our upcoming layer two, we're working with the Polygon team for that. And they've been a great partner to us. They've been announcing some pretty cool, innovative things also, the ag layer that they just announced earlier, something that we're looking at. Very cool, and definitely a shout out to them too.
Awesome. Two incredible shout outs, and I'm sure they're going to be grateful to hear it. But for everyone listening right now, and they're fired up about OKX and want to learn more about all the different partnerships and everything that's coming up, where can listeners go to learn more?
Twitter or X is probably the best place. I'm at Jason KLAU. our main handle is just at OKX. And if you want to hear and learn more specifically about some of the stuff we talked about on the Web3 stuff, it's our Web3 OKX handle. So that's just OKX Web3. So yeah, that's a great place. You can feel free to ping me if you have any questions. I think we try to be very accessible and responsive. So please give that a try. We're eager for feedback, like I mentioned.
Hey, well, you heard it. Jason's successful. Make sure you go hit him up and make sure you go check out everything else too. So we've reached Outer Limit at the Edge of NFT for today. Thanks for exploring with us. We got space for more adventures on this starship. So invite your friends and recruit some cool strangers that will make this journey all the more so much better. How? If you're listening, go to Spotify or iTunes right now, rate us and say something awesome. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, hit the subscribe button and pass this episode on to a friend or two. Lastly, be sure to tune in to the next time for more great Web3 content. Thanks again for sharing this time with us today, and see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed on Edge of NFT reflect solely those views and opinions of the show hosts and its guests. Please make sure to do your own research. Our show is not financial advice. You understand that you are using any and all information available on or through this podcast at your own risk. Whenever making financial decisions, we recommend doing your own research and talking to your accountant for financial advice. From time to time, we may feature sponsored content on the show for which we receive value, and we may share links for which we receive a commission if you make a purchase through one of those links. Refer to our website, www.edgeofnft.com, for our full disclaimer, terms and conditions, and privacy policy.